Welcome to Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, Mates. The eerie intersection where reality blurs into nightmare and tales creep into your consciousness, refusing to be forgotten. I'm your host, The Tale Teller, and today's episode is a haunting journey through rituals, reality, and the consequences of our actions, or perhaps, more accurately, our inactions. Our first story takes us deep into the unnerving, where the familiar becomes ominously foreign. Imagine a ritual, one that demands nothing more than a television and the cover of darkness. But this is an ordinary viewing experience. As our protagonist discovers, some channels are not found, but rather, they find you. Pulling you in a reality far removed from our own. A dimension where the boundaries of the screen blur, and the eerie glow of the TV illuminates truth best left unseen. Prepared to question what lies beyond the static. In our second tale, we delve into the seemingly mundane life of a man plagued by procrastination. An all too familiar struggle, you might think, but be warned, this story twists the everyday into the uncanny. Tasked with completing a simple chore, our protagonist's chronic procrastination becomes his undoing, entwining his fate with a ritual that demands a steep price, a piece of himself. Unique and irreplaceable, becomes a forfeit in a bizarre exchange. This story will leave you pondering the true cost of the moments we let slip by unclaimed. So dim the light, settle in, and let us begin a journey through the shadowy realm of creepypasta. Remember, dear listener, in this world, the most ordinary things can become your deepest fears. Let's dive into the abyss together. Enjoy. Channel, written by Jet Cyber. There is a legend circulating around the television industry. It is about Channel Infinity. Channel Infinity is hard to get to, and reports vary as to what it actually is. I will tell you how to get there and then what to do. Acquire a television, preferably with an analog for the best experience, and the older the better. Acquire a remote control. It does not have to go with the television you're using. Turn on the TV and set it to a channel that is static, or just a plain black screen if you are using a digital TV. Basically any channel you do not receive. Leave the room for about 3 hours. If you have a significant other in the house, have them with you. It is also best to call over a few friends. During those 3 hours, you should acquire a few items. I will list them in order from the most important to the least. Note, none of these are mandatory, but they help. You'll want an item that you hold dear, 2 handheld mirrors, a firearm or other weapon, a favorite book, a mobile communications device, a key, a sledgehammer or pickaxe. After roughly 3 hours have passed, re-enter the room. Have everyone else wait outside the door. Close the door. You set the TV to until you feel disorientated or freaked out. Call the others into the room. Give the item that you hold dear to the person that you care about the most in the room. Then send them back out. If you do not grab an item that you hold dear, hug that person and whisper a secret in their ear. Send them back out, and command them not to come back in no matter what until you open the door again. Note, this will be harder for them if there are more of them, but it will be safer for you if there are more people. Trust me. Hold the mirrors so that one is reflecting the television screen into the other, and the second is reflecting you. So it looks as if the television is behind you. Stay like this until a question appears on the screen. If you did not grab the mirrors, then sit in a chair facing away from the TV until you hear a noise. Grab the remote. There will be a question on the screen. Press channel up to answer yes, channel down to answer no. There will be anywhere from 3 to 26 questions, if reports are to be trusted. The questions will be anywhere from trivial to deep philosophic personal questions. Answer truthfully, or you will not succeed in reaching Channel Infinity. After the questions, one of three things will happen. 1. Your favorite show of all time will come on, but in the episode, all the characters will be heart-wrenchingly killed. 2. You will see a picture of your least favorite person or thing ever. This is where you use the firearm or other weapon. Break the TV with the weapon. It will then fix itself. Note, this is obviously the easiest of the three things. And 3, a strange, shimmery vortex will surround you and you will be pulled into an alternate dimension. If you find yourself here, here's what to do. You will find yourself in a twisted replica of your house. You will need to go to your own room where you will find the 4 items listed that you will need for this part. Take them. Exit your house. Outside will be more evil-looking versions of our world. And with a red sky, a grey sun, and dark orange plants, and an ever-present thin vermilion mist, you must go to the nearest public building, i.e. a school, mall, gas station, etc. Use the key on the door and enter. The key will fit the lock. If you did not get a key, climb in through a window. Upon entering, find a room with only one entrance. Sit down and begin reading the book. If you did not get a book, just sit down and be bored or scared. You will hear footsteps outside of the door, sometime within the next hour. Don't look up from the book. After you can no longer hear the footsteps, count to 250 out loud. Every 10 numbers, you will hear another footstep closer and closer to the door. Upon reaching 250, you will hear a knock on the door. If there are 3 knocks, open the door. If there are 4, say, "I forbid you," twice, and then open the door. You will see a stone statue of someone you love deeply outside of the door. It could be a family member, best friend, romantic partner, or even a fictional character. Smash its head 2 bits with the sledgehammer or pickaxe. If it is a female, also destroy the left hand. If you did not get the hammer or the pick, push the statue over. Exit the building from the entrance you came in through. It will be night. Look at the moon. It'll be either pink or green and either full or half. If it is pink and half, pull out the phone and call your 3rd most recent contact. Pink and full, pull out the phone and dial a random number before they pick up. Bite through your tongue. If you do not get the device, pretend to do the things above. Green and half, strip off all your clothes and sprint back to your house. Don't look behind you no matter what. Green and full, to put it bluntly, you're screwed. You'll be dead within half an hour. If it is one of the 1st 3, you will wake up in front of the television and you can continue the ritual. After this, you will have reached Channel Infinity. What you do now is up to you. If you go to the guide function, you will see shows listed such as The Meaning of Life or How to Acquire True Love. Choose one. Note, the more people you have outside the door with you determines the revelations that are on the shows. The more people, the better chance you have of seeing shows with more life-changing results. Or, if you keep watching the static without going to guide or breaking eye contact with the television, you will see a series of images that will, if deciphered, reveal the answer to your greatest question. There are, at this point, many options, too many to write here. Just do what you feel like you must and something will happen. The overwhelming majority of things will be good, but some will be bad. You may leave the room at any point, however, there are 2 catches. You may never speak of what you learned after accessing Channel Infinity, and you may only reach Channel Infinity 4 times in your life. I hope you find the experience enlightening. And so concludes Channel Infinity. Nothing Helps. Written by Squidman Escape. I'm submitting the assignment 10 minutes before the deadline. but I can't say that a surprise since I only started 4 hours ago. I had a whole week to do this, but I can only pray the level of work I put in will be all right. It feels like I always put things off until the last minute. Oh, I've tried to stop, believe me. I've changed my environment, planned out my day, even planned out my year. Medication? I've taken 3 kinds, and none of them ever worked. I had an epiphany one day when my dad was yelling at me to stop making excuses. No matter what I change, I still end up doing everything at the last minute. So I moved out and started lying to my parents that I wasn't procrastinating anymore. To be honest, it's barely working. I can manage my master's degree and a job at the same time, but that still means I have a bunch of close calls and adrenaline-filled nights. Just thinking about my situation stresses me out. Even with all the lies, life is pretty good at this point. I remind myself, in an attempt to calm down. I wash my clothes every week and check my mail every 2 weeks, and that's diligent enough. I should check my mail. The mailbox is overflowing, but that's normal. I get mail from a bunch of people who used to live in this apartment. I really should send these letters to them. Once I'm back in my house, I stuff the other people's mail into an overflowing drawer. I'll send all that mail out eventually. I'm left with only 3 letters. The first one is about an electrical bill, which I forgot to pay, but I think it doesn't matter since I set up an automatic payment. Am I wrong? I should look through the other letters before I check if this one. The second letter is from my bank, warning me about paying off my credit card on time. I make enough money to pay, but I keep forgetting. Should I check it? If I can set up an auto pay for my checking account to my credit card? Then again, maybe I shouldn't do that at all, in case there are any fraudulent transactions. I groan. After reading 2 letters, I already have 3 important things to do. And instead of doing any of them, I'm reading the final letter. The envelope is a folded sheet of lined paper held together by tape and staples. Thick and square, it looks like an arts and crafts project I made for fun when I was 10. The return address on the envelope is just Attention Co., without even a street name. I open the envelope and unfold the letter, which is also on a lined sheet of paper. I can tell an adult wrote it from the cramped, impeccable handwriting. Do you have problems with procrastination? Tried everything and it hasn't helped? Follow this odd ritual and you'll end up completely changed. You'll be capable of focusing on the most important things no matter what life throws at you. First, you have to call the number 3-3-054-26-4. The pound signs are not optional. If you're not meant to access this letter, this number will lead to a message like, your call cannot be completed as dialed. However, if you are supposed to receive this letter, then calling this number will mean you have to finish the ritual 3 weeks after your first call. My interest is piqued. So I dial the number and wait as the ringtone plays. Hello? The man on the phone sounds cartoonishly cheerful. Hi, I'm calling about the procrastination letter, is it? You know, real? You're darn tootin' it's real. A real opportunity to help you. I'm so glad you called. I'm coming over right now. Wait, you are... As soon as the words leave my mouth, I hear a knock at the door. When I open it, a short, portly man in a bowler hat grabs my hand and shakes it. It's a pleasure to meet you in person. He releases my hand and takes off his hat. So, I bet you're wondering about the fee at this point. Fee? Kiddo, did you just call immediately after reading the phone number? Yeah, that was a bad idea, huh? It all depends on you, Buckaroo. You've made a humongous decision, which you would have known if you'd read the letter. Once you call the number, you're obligated to pay the fee if you back out. Oh, okay. I can't help but feel I made a terrible decision. This is a top dollar decision you've made, actually. You didn't hesitate for a second. That's good, good. Hesitation is your main problem, I bet, because it leads you to procrastinating. That said, I figure you should actually read the letter, right, kiddo? Literally, the next paragraph is, But remember, do not call the number, in caps, until you're 100% sure of this. Read the entire letter before making the decision. I sigh and keep reading. Once you've called the number, you have only one job. You need to mail a letter back to the sender, Attention Co. The letter needs to contain every grievance you have with your current situation, every opportunity you've missed, every dream you've given up, every part of you that needs to be expunged. Anything you don't mention won't be considered a problem, so it won't be changed afterwards. The letter also needs to have at least an entire day's work put into it, meaning 24 hours of work. You have 3 weeks, so if you work on the letter for an hour and 10 minutes every day, you'll end up satisfying this condition easily. Keep in mind that you can't get someone else to write the letter for you. Trust us, we'll know. We'll also know how long you've spent on it, and don't kid yourself. No matter how much you write in 8 hours, that's not 24. Huh. If you succeed, you'll find yourself able and willing to 1. Figure out the most important thing in a given situation, 2. Make plans to get these things done in a timely manner, and 3. Make the best use of your ample free time to de-stress. All this and you won't have to pay anything at all. The work you put into your response will be enough for a lifetime of ease. If you fail to do this, you have to pay a fee which depends on the agent. Good luck. Please direct any questions to the agent who takes your call. If the agent is not physically present, call this phone number to reach Attention Co. Okay, I've read the letter. I look up at the beaming man. Can you tell me about the fee I have to pay? His grin just gets larger. Well, you seem like such a hard-working young fella that I definitely won't take anything you've worked for, and I won't do anything to you that wouldn't have happened anyways. This is starting to feel like some kind of scam, just because it seems to be too good to be true. Admittedly, working on the latter for 24 hours total sounds harrowing, but it's still doable. And at the end, I get a free 100% effective cure to my procrastination. The thing is, well, that just seems too easy for the payoff to actually... Oh, naturally, it's not supposed to seem difficult. What's that supposed to mean? Well, kiddo, if it's so easy to win, then do it. I double dog dare you. Why is he so sure that I'll fail? The longer he stays here, the more his perpetual smile and patronizing pet names make me feel like he knows I'm going to fail. I want him out of the apartment, but before I can open my mouth, he bows deeply and backs out through the door. Good luck, kiddo. I'm coming back in 3 weeks. He puts his hat back on and slams the door shut. I decide to start immediately, bringing out a line sheet of paper and a pencil. But when I think about the opportunities I missed, I come up blank. Sure, every day seems stressful, but I don't think procrastinating has really caused me to miss any opportunities. With nothing else to do, I decide to write about how stressed I am every day. That should work, right? I write a single sentence. Every day, I'm so stressed because of how much I procrastinate. Before I give up, unsure if anything is actually affecting me, I decide to watch a YouTube video about procrastination called Eliminate Procrastination, Motivational Speech, to get into the headspace of someone who loves to complain about procrastination. But I can barely watch beyond the half-minute mark because I start thinking about the schoolwork and job opportunities I could be looking for instead of writing this letter. The video is right. I shouldn't put important stuff off until tomorrow. So I start looking for job opportunities, reasoning that I can always work on the letter some other time. I end up doing other things over the next 7 days. Some of it is good, like trying to hunt for a new job, working on important homework and projects, including improving my awful draft for my master's degree, and cooking and cleaning so I stay alive and healthy. Sadly, most of my time is just spent looking at my phone and enjoying myself. Needless to say, I completely forgot about the letter, until the next time I happened to sit down at my desk at 7 p.m, 2 weeks before the deadline. Once I see it, all the guilt comes rushing back. Ugh. I set a timer to know how long I've spent on it and start writing. For exactly 2 hours. I write about all the things I could have done, getting more internships, getting better grades, talking to more people, becoming better at the job I want to do. I frantically write down everything I've been trying to forget about since even before I gave up on efficiency. But letting all these grievances out takes a toll. I start crying and my tears and snot drip on my paper. Ugh, I try to ignore it, but eventually I stop the timer. Get up and get a tissue. That marks the end of my productivity. Once I return and try to continue, all I can see are the problems with what I wrote. Are they really going to accept a letter covered in snot? If I copy all this down to another piece of paper, will that count as additional work? No, that can't be right. Otherwise, I could just keep copying the same paragraph over and over to different pages and get to 24 hours. But once I think of that, I realize that there must be some level of quality control. Otherwise, people could just send in a letter which is just the same paragraph written over and over again. Is that a bad thing? Is that considered okay? It has to be considered a bad thing. Also, the sentences in a letter seem pretty disjointed. Even though it's not the same as copying the letter, it's plausible that rewriting the letter with better grammar is what I'm supposed to do. Part of working on the letter. But it's also plausible that it would be considered rewriting part of the paragraph. How am I supposed to write the letter? Are good grammar and structure something that they want, or are originality and spur-of-the-moment thinking better? I look wearily at my phone, completely afraid to talk to the agent. Is he even going to help me? He seems so sure I'm going to fail. I get up and walk around, feeling like I'm about to throw up. After a lot of hand-wringing and groaning, I end up calling 3-3-054-26-4 again. By the second ring, I hear his voice on the phone. Hey there. He doesn't sound unhinged over the phone, and it's almost like I'm calling my parents. I'm so glad you called. It sure is a difficult thing to get started sometimes. Do you want to tell me what you need? I can't remember my questions anymore. Can you wait just a minute? No problemo. I can wait on the phone for as long as you like. The first step can be hard, since you realize everything you missed before. So it's important to ask questions, no matter how long it takes. He sounds way less condescending, which gives me the hope I need to actually remember what I was trying to say. I don't know how the quality control works for this letter. Can I just change the grammar and repeat myself? Well, good question. You can write whatever you want in the letter. You can cover it with snot and tears if you end up crying. You can cover it with food if you're hungry, and we won't mind. Also, you can write the same paragraph over and over again, and that still counts as working on the letter. If you decide to write all play and no work makes me a dull boy 9,000 times, that's perfectly fine. You can even send previous letters alongside the final letter to add to your total. We're not going to turn away any hard work. Thank you. Thank you so much. No problem. Is that your only question? Wait, I say on a whim. I feel like something is missing. And after 30 seconds of awkward silence, it comes to me. You never directly told me what you want as payment. I want to know what it is, because otherwise... I stopped talking, not quite sure why I want to know. Oh, sorry. I should have clarified. So I'll say it as clearly as possible this time. Luck, kid. That's what I want. What? How are you going to get luck? I don't think I'm that lucky. Wow, look at the time, kiddo. I don't think you have the time to whine. You're a real champ, we both know that. So why don't you just test the luck that you don't have and actually write this thing? I can hear him smiling more and more over the phone, and it finally occurs to me that he might do it as a threat display. Yes, I'll do it. I'm sorry for not thinking that. Buckaroo, you don't even know how sorry you should be. He hangs up on that note, and I decide to start writing. Even though it could have been a joke, I start writing. All play and no work makes me a dull boy. As I mull over our conversation, I never thought of myself as being lucky, but there are a lot of ways that things could go wrong in my life. I could end up getting scammed or extremely sick, or no, I can't really think of anything else. I don't know what he's on about. I write well into the night somehow, alternating between actual grievances and all play and no work until it's 5 a.m. and I've been writing for 10 hours. Now that I've turned like this, I see the drawer on other people's mail too. I realize I've never actually sent mail to an address, so it would make sense to practice using that mail I've never sent. I start looking at how to send letters, which turns out into watching videos on YouTube, and eventually I remember I have to work on other assignments for my master's degree. I look at the letter, and I can't help but think that 2 weeks is a long time. If I manage to keep up this level of work on 2 other days, I can easily finish the letter. Now, though, I can go to sleep and deal with this some other day. I'm starting at the letter again. I have 5 days to finish it. I haven't worked on it since 5 a.m. that day, and I have more deadlines than just this one coming up. Thankfully, I have some spare time to make a schedule. As I set up a schedule for the next 5 days, I'm surprised by how empty my average day really is. Most of it is just watching YouTube videos, and if I just spend less time watching them and more time actually working on things, I can probably end up finishing this letter easily while still finishing everything I need to do for class. I spend 4 straight hours working on the letter, bringing my total up to 14 hours. I flop into bed and smile, knowing that if I keep my schedule, I'll have spent 34 hours on the letter by the deadline. All I have to do is stick to the schedule for 5 days. Of course, I didn't stick to the schedule. It's the day before the deadline, and I've spent the other 3 not getting anything important done. Throwing caution to the wind, I ignore literally everything else to focus on my letter. I start at noon, and for hours on end, I feverishly write about how sorry I am for not working on the letter, how desperate I am to have a solution. I eat instant noodles for lunch and dinner, and I spend some time in the bathroom where I can't really focus on the letter. But my hard work pays off overall. By 11 p.m, there are maybe 50 pages of incomprehensible scribbling in the letter. And when I add up the time for all the timers, it comes to 24 hours and 30 minutes. Whew, the best part is that I still have time before midnight to work on something important. So of course, I spend that time watching videos on my phone. Why should I do even more today when I've got tomorrow as well? Then I get a phone call from 3-3-054-26-4.
Hi.
I can hear him smiling through the phone.
I notice you didn't mail the letter.
In all the commotion, I forgot that I actually had to mail the letter. Thank God I still have another day. I'll do it tomorrow.
No, you don't get it. The deadline's passed, kid.
But, no. No.
Okay. Okay, I lied a little just now. You thought you had until tonight. Maybe 11:59 p.m. today. But you actually had until 12:30 a.m. today. It's already been 3 weeks since I last saw you.
I can't speak. And I feel like I can't breathe.
Also, you let the timer running 2 weeks ago when you called me, and you spent more than 30 minutes trying. So, you didn't even write for 24 hours anyways.
I draw in a single, shuddering breath.
Good night. I'm coming to pick up my payment at 11:30 p.m.
He hangs up, and I start to cry. But then I stop. I don't need to worry about him, do I? All he's going to do is take my luck. And I'll be just fine without that. After all, I've dealt with a series of unfortunate events right now. If I'm constantly dealing with them, I'll just adapt. Even though it's hard not to feel uneasy, I manage to fall asleep. The whole ritual turned out to be a bust. Which means it went from an understatable time investment to procrastinating on editing my draft. This is why I can't plan properly. It's not obvious what turns out to be actually worthwhile. Because of how down I am, I can't bring myself to start editing my assignment until 7 p.m. My fingers fly over the keyboard as the hours pass by, but it all comes down to a rude halt when there's a knock on the door. And even though I don't move to unlock it, I hear it swing open. I turn around slowly and lock eyes with my agent, his chin right above my shoulders. He whispers, "The game wasn't rigged. If anything, it was rigged in your favor."
For the first time, I see his smile reaching up to his eyes. He's genuinely happy with this outcome, and that makes me angry. I muster up all the confidence I have and declare, I realized something. I'm not all that lucky. And if I really need luck that badly, this is just a chance to prove to myself that I can... The man bursts into laughter. When he finally stops laughing, I try to continue my sentence, but he shoves his entire hand into my mouth. Kiddo, I know when you're lying. You can't really pretend this is what you wanted to happen. But let's see you try. He pulls his hand out of my mouth and pats me on the head with it. I fall to my knees, spitting and dry heaving, but I can't get the bitter, chalky taste out of my mouth. When I stare up at him, he gently smiles and continues his spiel. Don't worry too much about the fee, sport. You've accomplished a whole lot, and I don't want to take anything you don't deserve. But your luck, kid, it's something else. That's how you stay alive. That's how you've accomplished everything. On the rare occasions where the world doesn't bend in your favor, you bend your will so it does, completely ignoring that it should be the norm, not the exception. For you to suffer, you should be out on the streets homeless with your work ethic. You can't even keep to a schedule, right? Do you think you work hard? And that's why you can eschew a schedule? Luck is your reality distortion field. You're just in-time accomplishment. Your little helper when everything comes crashing down time and time again. That's something money can't buy. And it's something you don't deserve. It's something I deserve. I open my mouth to object, but he shoves his hand in there again. This time, he shoves his arm deeper and deeper down my throat, pushing my head until I'm looking straight upwards. I gag and desperately try to punch him, slap him, do something to get him to stop, but nothing works. And when he finally pulls his hand out, it feels like he's yanked something out of my heart, too. Pleasure doing business with you. He slowly walks out, locking the door behind him as I weep on the floor. I stare into space, wondering how to react. Should I scream? Or cry? Or... After 2 minutes, I realize I'm just procrastinating and can't help but laugh. I guess I was right all along, No matter what help people give me, I can never improve, so living like this is fine. Maybe one day, I can convince myself. For now, though, it is time to actually do the work I was assigned. With my eyes on the clock, I hit send 30 minutes after the deadline. I may have only edited it for 4 hours, but at least I managed to get it in. I hope I don't get docked points. I've been fired from my job. I am failing my classes. My electrical bills need to be paid. My credit card doesn't work. And my parents won't talk to me anymore. I get off the phone with the moving company and scream into my pillow. I missed the deadline for the third time. And they're not going to move my furniture out or something. How do I even stay alive before this? I don't know how anything works at all. I should have realized how lucky I really was. Everything just worked out for me back then. And I kept ignoring the voice in the back of my head that told me it had all come crashing down. Now that voice is right, and it's all my fault. I try to counter the negativity with a lot of positive affirmations. There's nothing wrong with this. My parents will forgive me. It's not like trying harder would have magically changed the outcome. There's always tomorrow. I have a whole life left to improve on this. I can get better. I can get better. Nothing helps. Written by Squidman Escape. And there we have it, dear listeners. The end of our journey into the shadows for today. We've traversed realities pulled taut by rituals and seen the price of procrastination paid in the most unusual of currencies, luck. As we part ways,
Remember, the world around us is filled with stories waiting just beneath the surface. Stories that can transform the mundane into the extraordinary or the terrifying. All right, folks, it's time to unfurl the sparkly carpet and shine the spotlight on the fabulous beings who make this podcast more magical than a unicorn's pajama party on Patreon. And have you dreamed of being a hero while sipping your morning brew? Well, slide on over to www.patreon.com/SFGT to become my personal spandex and support the podcast. For less than the price of your barrister's masterpiece, you can revel in the sonic bliss of 320 kilobytes per second of crystal clear audio episodes and jump the queue on listening to each of my episodes 5 days earlier, super fresh, with every spooky tale sent to your ears. And the cherry on top, ads are non-existent here as a diet cheesecake. Your mighty contributions keep this audio cauldron simmering with stories, and it's patrons like you that mean I don't have to think twice when it comes to not running ads. So thank you so much in advance to all my patrons. Now, hold on to your hats because a gratitude hurricane is about to hit. Leading the charge is the magnificent, the mystical, the ultimate Chai Charmer, Matt O'Star, our Ode Night Tea Titan Patreon, a superstar of galactic proportions. Matto, you're not just a supporter. You're the Merlin to my Arthur, the Double Doot to my Harry Potter, helping me continue to navigate the murky waters of podcast expenses with wizard-like wisdom. Your support keeps our metaphorical lighthouse shining, the audio gears greased, and ensures my tea stash rivals that of a self-sustaining tea shop. Your spirit outshines a disco ball at a solar eclipse, shimmering brighter than a dragon's freshly polished bling, sending you a cosmic fist bump, buddy, and cheers for sending your love my way. Matto, you're not just epic, you're the definition of legendary friendship and awesomeness combined. Can't wait to respond to your email. Cheers, legend. Now, let's roll out the Gandalf-sized red carpet for our twin white tea warlords, kicking things off with the legendary, the unparalleled, muscle-bound herald that is Lezza the Bicep Shatterer. And mate, I'm going to go full Lord of the Rings on you. Lezza, your zeal in defeating the mundane orcs of boredom and hoisting the white tea flag of festivity is nothing short of epic. Your support is like a wizard's brew, roasting smoothly across the plains of Rohan, and he who has the one ring to rule my thanks. You're cooler than a wizard at a disco in Middle-earth, and we all know how damn cool wizards are with yo-yos. Look it up, you won't be disappointed. Endless cheers to you, Lezza, for cranking the awesome dial past Mordor and straight into the Shire. A hearty toast to our fellowship legend. And leaping into the heart of our celebration with the grace of a caffeinated kangaroo, let's spotlight the remarkable, the one and only, Joseph Schroeder, our esteemed white tea warlord, a podcast Patreon saint of awesomeness. Joseph, your generosity is like a T-Rex doing ballet in the living room, impossible to ignore and utterly delightful. The cornerstone that allows me to grow and explore uncharted territories of creativity. You're the spark that transforms our podcast from mere whispers in the wind to a full-blown sonic boom. The secret ingredient in our audio gumbo that brings a unique sparkle to every episode. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to know you. And thank you so much for your sweet email that you sent my way last week. That was wonderful of you to share. Thanks, man, for being my pal and supporter. Now, let's raise our teacups to my amazing Ograin forces, the fearless defenders against the nefarious forces of boredom. I'm blessed to have this formidable squad, starting with Chad Warren, Just Heather, Sunshine Days, Juicebox Andy, Peter Raffaelli, Michelangelo Iacone, Divided by Zero, Leah Fassig, Alia Arcane, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, Jandy Prinz, and Seductive Smiles. Big shout out to my Patreon powerhouses, the Elgrain Forces. You folks are the cat's pajamas, the bee's knees, the coolest cucumbers in the salad of life. Here's to more wild rides on the audio roller coaster. Cheers, you magnificent unicorns, you. Now, brew your tea, make it just right, flavoring precise, a pure delight. Like tales and books, let it flow, guiding us where old fables go. Stories bind us hand in hand, in a world of wonder we stand. Old audio and nostalgic refrain reminding us of how we've changed. So stay a while, lend an ear, let the stories draw you near. And as the end draws nigh, hope to see you again, by, and by. And in this case, next Monday. Catch your legends. Have a fantastic week. Ciao.